भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमः विष्णुपराय कृष्णप्रसाद बुद्धले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नित्य नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देव गौरवाणी प्रसादने निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्य शतादने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सरस्वती गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Verse 14. Sila Vashati Vatena Hanyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Mene Kupitendra Pratam Hari Sila Vashati Vatena Anyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Mene Kupitendra Kritam Harihi Shila, hailstones, Varsha, by the rain, Ativatena, by the extreme wind, Hanyamanam, being attacked, Achetanam, unconscious, Niriksha, seeing, Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mene, considered, Kupita, angry, Indra, by Indra, Kritam, done, Hari, Lord Hari. Translation, seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. Purport, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food, and thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. When the Lord finally acted, the result was wonderful. Translation, seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood this was the work of angry Indra. So the question may sometimes arise, if Vrindavan is the spiritual world, then how is it possible we have demons entering into it, and here we find Indra attacking it with his hailstones and rain, etc. So the spiritual world is supposed to be nice and peaceful and sunny and full of flowers and birds chirping, etc. So how is it that we get all these disturbances in the spiritual world? And then we can also ask, how is it that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are supposed to be siddha devotees, either nitya siddha or sadhana siddha devotees on the level of prema with spiritual bodies, how is it that they become distressed at such apparent material calamities? Even the devotee in the material world, when he is afflicted by material calamities, is very, very tolerant, and he doesn't mind these things, such as Haridas Thakur. He was beaten and whatever by the Muslims, and he was smiling, and he didn't feel any torment at all. And here we see inhabitants of Vrindavan are overcome with great anxiety, and they are crying out for help and they're becoming unconscious. So how is it possible they become afflicted when they have spiritual bodies? Even the person with a material body, such as the great devotees, they don't feel such reactions. So the purport here, of course, answers to some degree this thing. And it says that for the pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world, and also when he comes into this material world, his pastimes in the material world are non-different from the spiritual world. So therefore, the same spiritual energies will operate, not the material energies. Huh? So if we see bewilderment and lamentation and fainting and suffering and whatnot in the devotees, in the spiritual dham, in the material world, still we have to understand it's undertaken by the spiritual shaktis of the Supreme Lord. The Lord himself doesn't do anything, but he gives the power to act to his shaktis. Just as for the material creation, the Lord is the ultimate creator, sarva karana karanam. But Krishna doesn't do anything. He doesn't start creating the material worlds. He expands into Balaram. Balaram expands into Chaturvyuha. And of the Chaturvyuha, we get expansion as Mahashankarshan, Mahavishnu. And then Mahavishnu says, let there be a creation. And he impregnates the jivas into Prakriti, and then the creation starts. So it is not Krishna directly, but it is through his expansions and through his energies that all of this is taking place. So for creation of the material world, we have expansions, Amsa, 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 Mahavishnu, and then we have Prakriti and Shiva carrying out the actual creation. So he doesn't do it directly. That's for the material creation. So in the spiritual world also, and when Krishna appears in the material world with to perform his pastimes, it is all everything is carried out by the will of the Lord, of course, and then the cooperation and the support and the inspiration of his shaktis. So he has different shaktis available who are all very, they're persons also, because everything in the spiritual world is personal. So his shaktis are not abstract energies like, you know, gravity, law of gravity or something like that. Not like that. His shaktis are actually personalities also. And of course, we have the personification of Ladini Shakti in Rajaro world with to perform his pastimes, Lakshmi, etc. So similarly, we have other shaktis available for the Lord's pleasure. So one of the shaktis is Lila Shakti. Here is mentioned in the purport, pastime potency. That's the Lila Shakti. One particular servant of the Lord who is very expert at arranging for the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees in the dham. This is the Lila Shakti. So, of course, the Lila, why does the Lord have Lila in the first place? Lila is there in order to express the bliss inherent in the Lord. It's not that it's a result of the Lord's bliss or anything. It's inherent in the Lord, the Lila, as well as the Ananda. So the Lord is by nature full of Ananda, and an expression of that Ananda is his Lila, or his pastimes, with his devotees. So therefore this Lila Shakti has a great deal to do, because in the spiritual world, pastimes are always going on. There is no point where there's no pastimes between the Lord and his devotees. All day and all night, the pastimes go on. People don't take rest, actually. And Krishna doesn't take rest. He's constantly doing something. So all day and all night, Krishna is doing pastimes. Not only with one group of devotees, sometimes he's got several groups of devotees that are all involved in intricate pastimes. So, therefore, this Lila Shakti is very, very active to coordinate everything very, very nicely for the Supreme Lord's pleasure and the devotee's pleasure. And, of course, there are other energies also. Often we hear of the yoga maya potency of the Lord, spiritual potency of the Lord. So this is often mentioned in relation to ignorance in the spiritual world. Though people cannot really be ignorant in the spiritual world because they're full of knowledge. Yet it seems that people forget things or people are not aware of things. How is that? How is it possible that the husbands of the gopis don't know that the gopis are running out into the forest every night and having Rasalila with Krishna? Every night doing this. You think they would be aware of it? They're not. That means they're ignorant. No, it is yogamaya potency operating. So the definition of yogamaya is that this is the potency which makes the individual unaware or ignorant of certain facts in the spiritual lila. Some things are covered, some things are not covered. It's not that everything is covered. Everything is covered, then that means you're in ignorance in the material world. But this is for the persons who have fully developed spiritual consciousness. Some aspects are hidden from them, and some parts are revealed. So the yogamaya potency is the potency which hides certain facts from certain devotees at certain times. And this again is in cooperation with the lila shakti in order that the pastimes can go on very nicely. So for instance, in Krishna's activities, lila in the material world, Krishna is involved in battle of Kurukshetra and he has Arjuna as his friend. And before the battle, Arjuna refuses to fight. And he refuses to fight because he becomes bewildered. And he's very confused. And he's so confused that he throws down his weapons, even though he's the greatest fighter in the world. And then he says, I don't know what to do. Krishna, please help me. So though normally Arjuna is not in that position, suddenly he's overcome with ignorance. So that ignorance also cannot be regular maya. This is yoga maya. It's the energy of the Lord operating. So why does that energy operate? It's because the Lord wants to reveal teachings of Bhagavad Gita to the world. So therefore he chooses Arjuna because Arjuna is his best friend. But then in order to get to teach Arjuna, then he has to throw Arjuna into some sort of ignorance and then begin speaking to him as if he were an ordinary jiva. And Arjuna asks questions and then Krishna replies. So therefore the Lord's desire is behind the yoga maya shakti working in that case. So that's an example of yoga maya working. So the lila shakti again is another shakti, and there's so many other shaktis also available in the spiritual world to enact the Lord's pastimes. So here we have in the Govardhan lila, we have Indra attacking and becoming angry, even though he's also a devotee. And then we have the inhabitants of Vrindavan feeling miserable and the cows shivering and becoming cold and everybody all confused. And here it says that they're almost unconscious. Everyone's almost unconscious because of the unbearable cold and hail and rain, etc. How is it possible that this could happen? Again, lila shakti of the Lord. He involves them in these incidences. And it looks as if they are like ordinary people in the material world, overcome by tribulations of the material world. Again, yoga maya is operating, and they're acting like normal people with normal reactions. But they're not, actually. So, how do we conclude that? That they're not ordinary, and these are not ordinary material activities and normal material incidences. The reason is, of course, is because Krishna has indicated that the Brajabasis are the best devotees. And, of course, when Uddhava witnesses the people of Vrindavan, when he goes from Mathura and comes to Vrindavan with the message of Krishna for the gopis and Nanda and Yasoda, and he witnesses the separation of the Brajabasis from Krishna, and he goes back to Mathura and says, though we are the relatives, direct blood relatives of Krishna, they are better devotees than us. They are the best devotees. We, of course, think we're the best, but they are the best devotees of all. And this is Uddhava, who was the most respected among the Rishinis. And he's saying this to all the people there, the assembly. Mm-hmm. They are the best devotees, not us. Huh? So the inhabitants of Vrindavan are the best devotees of Krishna. Huh? And, of course, the best devotees are, they have to be purely spiritual. So, therefore, there's a contradiction if they fall into all this ignorance and lamentation, etc. So, we have to conclude, therefore, that it's they have the highest relationship with the Supreme Lord, highest possible relationships with the Supreme Lord. And to express those relationships, then we will see sometimes very extreme emotions in order to emphasize the intensity of their love. So it's explained, Krishna, when before the Ras Lila, of course, Krishna discouraged the gopis, said, go home, go home. Shouldn't come here in the middle of the night because, you know, I'm just a brahmachari. And, you know, you're a respectable woman and people will criticize you, and it's not good to pick flowers in the middle of the night because tigers will come and eat you. So he gave all sorts of excuses, better go home. And they just didn't do anything. They just looked at him. And they became a little angry. But they wouldn't move. And then finally Krishna says, okay, come in the forest. And then after some time, then he did spirit again. And they were completely shocked by this, everyone. And they wandered around in the forest looking for Krishna, and they began fainting and having all sorts of painful symptoms in the body. Huh? And they became more and more distraught, and then they saw the footprints of some one gopi, and some started criticizing that gopi, and then some started sympathizing with that gopi, and then finally they saw that gopi also lying on the ground. And then they also sympathized with her, and they all began looking for Krishna. And again, their symptoms of ecstasy, but in separation, became very, very intense. And then finally, it got so dark in the forest, they gave up. And they didn't give up, actually, but they said, what could we do? So they went to the bank of the Jamuna, and they began chanting Krishna's name. They don't cure down. And then Krishna appeared. But then they were all rather angry with Krishna. Says, why do you do this to us? Why do you make us and put us in so much pain and anxiety and trouble and discouragement, etc.? And they tested Krishna with a riddle. And then finally, the end result of all of this was, then Krishna says that actually, it was necessary to put you through all of this separation and this apparent pain, etc., lamentation. I tried to do that in order to show that actually, by doing this, your love for me would increase. But actually, your love is already at the highest point, and it cannot increase anything more than that. So I failed in that respect. But the other reason is that because I want to show the world what it is to be the greatest devotees. And the greatest devotees will express themselves with the most intense love. And that can be shown only in separation. In separation, then, in the absence of the lover, the other lover becomes almost dead as a result of that separation because of the intense attachment. So therefore, I separated myself from you to show the world that you are the best devotees. So therefore, simply to show the people of the world that the gopis were at the highest level of love, he separated. So in other words, it was a service to the gopis, to praise the gopis for their love, that he actually separated like this. So therefore, that apparent pain of separation was arranged by the Lord in order to fulfill his own desires to teach the whole world. Just as he put Arjuna under illusion to teach the world the Bhagavad Gita. So again, too, show that the gopis were the highest devotees. They went through this experience of apparent suffering, etc. But we should never think that this type of suffering is like due to karma or it's material suffering. And Vishnu Chakravarti makes that very clear in Madhurya Kadambini, where he says, if we see the suffering of the devotee, then we should not think that this is karma. So if the Pandavas seem to undergo suffering in the forest for 13 years or whatever, and they're going through all sorts of austerities and whatever. No, it is not karma. They don't have karma. So this is only an arrangement of the Lord. And they look like they're distressed, but actually they are not. In separation from the Lord, and then the Lord performs certain, he has certain goals in mind. And then finally, of course, the Lord meets the devotee. And everything is satisfied. So in this way, particularly in the pastimes of Krishna in the material world, these incidents of disturbance, distress, and separation become extreme. It's not like that in the spiritual world. Krishna does not leave for 100 years in the spiritual world and then come back and meet the devotees of Vrindavan somewhere else, as he met them in Kurukshetra after many years. It doesn't happen in the spiritual world. But it happens when Krishna performs his pastimes here, his Prakata Leela. So therefore, in the pastimes within the material world, we will see some variations on the spiritual themes in the spiritual world, and that is, they become somewhat more intense. And the feelings of pain and disturbance and separation will become more. So therefore, we have actual demons coming, like Kaliya, and they won't be there in the spiritual world, obviously. We have them. And then, as a result of that, the inhabitants of Vrindavan go through all sorts of emotions, and they're fainting on the ground, and Mother Yasoda is wanting to jump into the Jamuna and catch Krishna because he's held in the coils of Kaliya. And her friends hold her back. They go through all sorts of very intense emotions in relation to Krishna, when Krishna is attacked by demons, etc. Or in separation from Krishna, they will go through intense feelings. So these are all part of spiritual experience. They look as if they're material, but if we examine very closely, we'll see these are secondary symptoms of their love. Their love, of course, is their Vatsalya Rasa or Madhurya Rasa or Sakya Rasa, etc. That they have a certain mood of love for Krishna, which is very intense. And to support that and give variation in there, then we'll have these other emotions, such as lamentation and envy and fear and agitation and there's 33, what are they called, temporary emotions which will manifest at different times in different devotees. Many of which are negative emotions, like terror or something like that. When Mother Yasoda hears the sound of putanas falling on the ground, and she has terrifying symptoms, you know. So, all of these symptoms are there, but they're all related to the pastimes of Krishna and the devotee's relationship with Krishna, and they support that love. So, in other words, all of these different emotions, even though they appear negative to us, they support and nourish the main loving sentiment for Krishna, whether it is Vatsalya or Madhurya or Sakya or Dasya. So therefore, all of these symptoms of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, such as fainting, etc., and apparent sickness and whatever the symptoms they're showing, all support, ultimately, their main love for Krishna. And it is all resolved, finally. Everything is resolved. It's not that they have to go through these symptoms of fear and lamentation forever. No, they're temporary emotions in the spiritual world. Vyabhachari bhava means they're temporary. So they appear and they disappear, like waves in the ocean. So they will not continue forever. So all of these negative things, apparently negative things, will dissolve eventually. So they're a part of the spiritual love, part of prema. They're nothing, and they don't belong to the material world. So that is pointed out by Rupa Goswami in the later part of Nectar of Devotion, who says that though it appears that sometimes the devotees experience the emotions of someone in the material world in a very intense way, that is actually not so. This is part of spiritual emotion, part of their prema, and helps to nourish and increase their prema. So example is given here of eating. This is a material example, of course, as if we don't eat, then we have hunger, and hunger is an uncomfortable feeling, rather. But then we eat and we're satisfied. But so we can take the uncomfortable feeling of hunger as part of the pleasure in one sense. Because if you're full and you eat, it feels very bad. You don't get any pleasure out of that. Whereas when you're hungry and you eat, then you feel very good. So then the hunger and the pleasure of eating go together, more or less. So the separation from Krishna and then the meeting with Krishna also go together in the same way. The pleasure of meeting becomes very strong when there is some separation. So though it looks as if it is some sort of painful experience, it is counteracted by the experience of extreme bliss. So the two things go together, and they're all spiritual. So in order to do that, then we have all sorts of incidences which look also disturbing. So we get the rain clouds and the hail and whatever like that, or we have the demons attacking, or we have the arrangements for separation from Krishna, etc. So these again are there too. Great variety in the lila. And particularly in Krishna's pastimes in the material world, they're there too. Create even more intense examples of love. So for that reason, actually, some of the acharyas say the prakata lila of Krishna when he appears in the material world is even more wonderful and astonishing than Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Because of this little variety there and the more intense varieties of emotion, which cannot take place there because we don't have demons in the spiritual world and we don't have prolonged separations. So Krishna takes his opportunity in the material world of revealing these things more in a more intense way. And his devotees ultimately derive more bliss from that also. So in this way we have the explanation of the different aspects of the lila of Krishna. And this is, and we can actually even include Indra in the whole thing also. How can Indra do this? We have these demons entering into Vrindavan sometimes, and here we have Indra afflicting also. So how can someone interrupt the pastimes of the Lord? The will of the Lord again. The Lord wills that Indra come into this pastime and disturb everything. Okay, for this pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. Krishna has many goals to achieve by lifting Govardhan Hill. Of course, some are in relation to Indra, some are in relation to the devotees, the Brajavasis. And some, of course, are for the people of this world to give pleasure to the people of the world so when they hear about these pastimes, they derive great pleasure also. So, in this way, Krishna is fulfilling many purposes by his engaging his Lila Shakti and his Yoga Maya Shakti, etc., in arranging these things. Okay, any question?
According to Shastras, is time, space infinite? Because matter and, time cease to exist in the, it's only part of the material world, so does space extend to the spiritual world, or is it transformed into something else?
Well, space and time, as we know, is material. That what we call time and space. Kala, of course, is a Shakti of the Supreme Lord, which operates in the material world. And this is considered to be part of Maya, not exactly Prakriti, but part of Maya, a very subtle aspect of Maya. It's called Kala, along with Karma. And they're separate from Prakriti, which is the substance, which makes all the objects of the material world. But it's part of Maya, that Kala. Now, of course, time, space is not specifically mentioned there. But and this, of course, is a subject of different acharyas. It's also a material, just like time is a material thing, so the material space is also material with certain dimensions to it. That doesn't mean the spiritual world does not have time and space, but it is definitely not like the material time and space that we know it. It's different. Therefore, in the spiritual world, we'll have
progression of day and night. We even have a sun and a moon in the spiritual world. And we have progression of day and night. And we have parts of the day, eight parts of the day, and Krishna's pastimes in different parts of the day. So there's an apparent similarity between the time of the material world and time of the spiritual world. But again, it's a little bit different because the time in the material world is, it goes one way and it doesn't go backwards. And, you know, people get old through the influence of time, and they get older and older and older, and it causes destruction, ultimately. We find that in his pastimes, Krishna plays with this time of the material world, and he expands it, contracts it, or does whatever he wants with it. So therefore, within one night, he actually had the experience with the gopis of a whole night of Brahma within the one night. So he expands time by how many billion times, I don't know how much that is, but that one night of Brahma is a long time, so many billions or trillions of years. And that fit within like 5 hours or 4 hours. So the time for Krishna in the spiritual world is a little bit different from the material world. It's very flexible according to his pastimes. But in the material world, of course, it just goes like that. It's set, and there's no flexibility to it. So there is a sense of time in the spiritual world, but it is not the destructive time of the material world, which is in relation to creation, destruction, and all this, and karma. It is there for pastimes of the Supreme Lord, time and space, etc. Space also is a little bit funny because in the material world, devotees often ask the question, well, Dwarka is up there, and you know there was 16,108 palaces in Dwarka, and Krishna had so many sons by those queens, 10 sons each. There'd be a lot of people there, and how can they fit in that little town of Dwarka? And similarly, Vishnu Chakravarti points out that in the Ras Lila there were 3 billion gopis dancing in a circle. And there were 3 billion expansions of Krishna also, because Krishna expanded for each gopi. And there was Krishna and a gopi in a big circle. So he put 3 billion in a circumference. I don't know how long big it's going to be, but certainly it's bigger than Vrindavan. It may cover all of India, something like that. So how is it possible? And that was in the Vrindavan forest, not even the whole of, you know, Mathura. It's just in the Vrindavan forest, one part of it, and no one could see it. So that means somehow space expanded. Also, so Krishna can expand space also. And of course, Krishna is smaller than the smallest also, and he can also become smaller than anything else as well. And he can become bigger than everything. He can contain the whole universe also within himself, as he showed in the Madhya Yasoda, universe inside himself. So time and space of the material world are kind of insignificant for Krishna, and he can play with them as he wants. But for the pastimes, time and space are very useful to the Lord in the spiritual world also.
In fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a mention of lower planetary systems, in which within the planet there is a mention of Lord Shiva and his wife, and from them all the demons coming and all that. But we also see that Kailas is also mentioned in between the spiritual world and the material world.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between this?
Well, Shiva has many expansions. Of course, in Bhagavatam it says there's Ekadas Rudra. For one material world, there's 11 expansions of Shiva who are in charge of different things like the mind and the material elements, etc. So there's one Shiva, with Adi Shiva. And then for material creation, there's so many other expansions. So in Brahma Samhita, Jiva Goswami explains that outside of the, before the universe takes place, there is one Sambhu, Shiva. And then when the universe is created, then there's another appearance of Shiva within the universe. And then that Shiva seems to expand into 11 other expansions within the universe. So we have many forms of Shiva there. And all expansion, expansion, expansion. Just like Balaram expands into Vishnu, Vishnu expands into Mahavishnu, expands into Shirdaksha Vishnu, and Garbhadaksha and Shirdaksha Vishnu into Paramatma, everything like that. So Shiva also can expand in many ways. What?
The Govardhan Leela, is the lifting of the Govardhan Hill, that takes place in the spiritual world also?
I never thought of it, but I think not. I would think not, because They're not going to have that same angry Indra up there raining down thunder and lightning and all that. Like the demons don't attack also, and Brahma doesn't get bewildered in the spiritual world and steal the calves. And you know, this is a part of the Marcha Lila, pastimes in the material world. Yeah, well, that's why the acharyas do say, some of our acharyas do say that, I think Vishwanath mentions that some acharyas say that therefore Krishna's Marcha Lila is even more attractive than the spiritual world. These are some of the things, yeah? And of course the other is that Krishna has different forms here, whereas in Krishna the spiritual world only has Kaishor form, in Vrindavan that is. Whereas when he comes here he's got the little baby form and he grows, and then he becomes a little bigger, and that's good for Sakya Rasa, and then he grows bigger, then it's good for Madhurya Rasa. So ideal forms are also manifest in Krishna's pastimes in the material world. It's Vatsalya, Krishna's the little baby, is the best form. Yeah? Mother Yasoda can hold him in her arms, like that. And when he's bigger, it's a little more difficult. So in that sense, yes. But it's more or less a necessity of the spiritual world that cannot take place, because we don't have growth in the spiritual world. So therefore we only have one age of Krishna. But nevertheless, in that age, all of the different devotees also nourish their rasa. So even then, Mother Yasoda also identifies with Krishna as her young child, etc. So still it happens. And as for the demons, etc., as I said, these are there to intensify the emotions. So there's no loss for the people of the spiritual world, because actually they also participate in these leelas. So Mother Yasoda is there, she's also here when Krishna performs the leela. So she gets satisfaction for this also, both ways. So this produces a little more intensity sometimes. That's what it does, intensity of the pastimes. But then there's, of course, we can say which is better. So some people prefer something more steady. Some people prefer more like this, more adventurous. Different people may prefer different things. Can't say one's superior or inferior. It's just more variety, we can say. Intensity is more in the when Krishna appears in the material world, particularly because of the separation. Only in one place, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, actually, of course, in Chaitanya Charitamrita there, Lord Chaitanya explains it's like a firebrand, and you light a fire on a torch on the end of the thing, and you twirl it around, then it's a continuous circle. So then he says, and the comparison is that Krishna is always performing his pastime somewhere in the material world. So he goes from one planet to the other, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. So therefore there's a continuity of lila. In that sense. So Krishna's birth is eternal. Even though we say he's born, that's the end of it. No. If he's born, then he's born again in another universe, then he's born in another. The birth keeps taking place somewhere in another universe, so it's continuous. Like the firebrand going around. So in other words, he's appearing in different universes at different times, one after the other. And therefore that birth experience is an eternal event in one sense, because it keeps going on somewhere. So that means the pastimes of Krishna are going on in a different universe. But in one day of Brahma, then he only appears once in this form of Vrindavan Krishna. But then again he'll appear. So that means in other universes then he'll appear in different times.
But it's just one planet mentioned
in this league. Oh, yeah, like the Earth planet. Yeah. That place is suitable for his pastimes, where there's a very suitable human-like form. And there's cowherd people. And he'll fit in very nicely. So that's the Earth planet.
What about yogis and
Oh yeah, even material time has many aspects that we're not aware of. And even in the material time, you can to some extent go forwards and backwards if you have the siddhi to do so. So you can also do time and space, because with your mind you can travel also and go to different places. So distance is no problem for the yogi. So he simply thinks of the place, he can go there also. So space also is a little different for the yogi. So even material time and space do have there are different conceptions on different levels of consciousness. Ours is a particular one. Devas are obviously different, and yogis are different. And Brahma is, of course, maybe the ultimate in time experience, because he's got the longest time to live. So definitely within this material world also, time is not actually what we think it is. But still, it's material. Well, it's explained that in the in this pastime that he told them to worship Govardhan, and then Nanda and all the cowherd men got all their items together and piled it up, made an offering to Govardhan, and then Krishna actually took another form and sat on the top of Govardhan and devoured all the items. He accepted all the items, even from far away. He extended his hands into different villages in the surrounding areas, and they were making offerings also, and he accepted those offerings also. Well, everything is, I would say, eternal in one sense, yeah, because it's spiritual and it's Krishna, and he's performing the pastime in other universes also. In that sense, it's eternal. Yeah? But when we talk about a sarupa, then his sarupa is actually this boy form, Kishore form.